It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. It's start of our 24th year of the Coaches Show right here on KWOS. First of all, I want to thank Steve Duncan and Mitch Rodman, who took care of the show over the months of June and July, and we're back to start. And joining us is a coach that has been on this show more than any other coach, and it's Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing, Hall of Famer?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, great. It's getting close, isn't it? It's a great time of year, but really excited. And thank you for letting me be on the show this morning.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to talk about was the great year that you had out at Blair Oaks, not only in football, but the baseball team won a state championship. The softball team went to the Final Four. The boys basketball team went to the quarterfinals. The Lady Falcons basketball team played for a district title. It was a great year of sports at Blair Oaks, wasn't it?
It was, and you also have to take into account the wrestling did very well. They had several members placed in the top six state, and then also track team won the first conference title in many, many years. There's just an atmosphere out there, and you know, I hear the word spun around a lot, and you hear the community. The community out there supports players and supports the whole student population. There's I told people this many times since I started back at Blair Oaks. It's added about 10 years to my educational career. As far as a teacher, it's just fun to go out there and be part of the community, all the community involvement, but most of all, they support their students and their school, and it is truly a pleasure to work there.
Undefeated last year, you won the state title, beating Lathrop over at Faro Field in Columbia. It's a football team that averaged 53 points a ball game. You shut out your opponent, I think, five times. You gave up 7 points or less in 11 of those 15 games. It was an outstanding year, wasn't it?
It was a special group of young men that worked hard. They had been through a lot of adversity, a lot of changes, a lot of things had gone on, and they just kept their heads up. And when we went out, they did it, you know, what we asked them to do, and never had any drama. It was just a lot of fun to be around a great group of young men. And you know, the administration was really supportive from day one. Jim Jones, Melinda Aholt, Corey Felton, they all, you know, made the coaches feel welcome and allowed us to go out and do our job. And then the players just executed it about as well as they could. They really, the big factor was the trust that came into play. We knew they were talented. We knew they were good. But the trust that came into play and allowed them to reach the heights they wanted to reach.
You know, and it was a situation, too, where you did it on both sides of the football, didn't you?
Well, I would say in all three areas, you know, that everybody forgets about that special teams. And I think that was an area where we really probably grew more than anywhere as a football team out there. They had not really done anything with special teams prior to us being there. And, you know, we blocked seven. Pringer blocked seven kicks last year. But overall, I think we blocked nine kicks, returned a couple for touchdowns on kickoff returns. Kicked the ball in the end zone, kicked extra points for the first time in 3 years, kicked field goals, you know, punted the ball very well. With football, you know, it's the greatest game ever because every child has an opportunity to play, and that's what we're trying to really grasp and get more players involved. There's 88 positions on the football field on a Friday night. I don't know if people realize that or not. You know, so many people want to specialize. 88 guys can play in a football game. There are eight different units out there when you take into account how many special teams there are. So we'd love to have a game where we played 88 players. That would be the ultimate goal. And that's the one thing I think last year we lettered every kid that played on our football team. We had 45 members of our football team. Every kid got, I think, in a minimum of 7 football games last year. So when you can create an atmosphere where you get a lot of players playing and it also emulates over into practice, and I think that's when you talk about offense, defense, and special teams, our practices sometimes were just electric because of the competition level on the practice field, and then that made the games that much easier, or not that much easier, but that much more fun to play in, and that's where we really accelerated as the year wore on.
You know, last year was your first year back at Blair Oaks. Tell me about the experience of walking in and meeting the team for the first time and how that really got the ball rolling as far as the season was concerned.
Well, I think I played on my experience a little bit. As a junior going into my senior year of college, Woody Woodenhofer was fired at the University of Missouri, and they brought in Bob Stoll. And I think when I first went out there, I knew what was going to be the situation. There was a lot of animosity, a lot of hurt feelings because a coach had left, and you understand that there's been relationships developed, and relationships are the big part of our business. So I really just went in the first week or two and sat back and watched and allowed them to kind of approach myself. Coach Briggs was on board early. Then we got Coach Butler, Coach Cook, Coach Terpstra, Coach A. Lee Wine, Coach Lennon Brink. And you know, as we started to grow, after a two-week session, we sat down and I met with all the seniors as a group, and we laid out what they wanted their roadmap to look like for their season. And once we kind of showed them that we were serious about listening to them and wanting to know what their wants and needs were, and it wasn't about what we wanted to do as coaches, but what they wanted to do as a team, and then we lofted those goals up, and we put them up in our weight room and let everybody see that, hey, this is what the seniors want to do, then the trust factor started to build. But I don't think it really came into great play until we were in the middle of the summer and we went against CBC. And CBC, being as talented as they are, Scott Fingle and I have a great relationship. We get to do things with them over the summer, and it allows our players to see really, really elite athletes. But it shows them that they're still doing the techniques that we're talking about and we were showing, and they started to say, okay, well, you all may know what you're doing. And then as the season wore on, and we came out with a really hard-fought victory at Maryville, our players really found out that, you know, this is about trust, and that our coaches trusted us, because in that game we asked them questions and listened. And that was the growing point, that they're like, well, if they're going to listen to us, then we need to listen to them. And it was just a growing point from each side. But the first year was a little tough at the beginning because, again, you know, I, going through it as a player, coaching change is always difficult because you just don't know what to expect. And as a young person, you haven't experienced the changes as much as what many other people have. And changes in life are inevitable. And so you better make them as good as you can make them.
When you won the football game at Columbia, when you beat Lathrop for the state title, what was your first thought, first emotion?
I was happy for our players. Again, you know, when I worked into the meeting and they introduced me as a coach, it was a somber moment for a lot of those players because the uncertainty of what was there. And I remember, you know, Nolan Atnip was one that, and I hate to point out one player, but his father had passed away when they were in seventh grade, and I remember some things he had said about his dad throughout the season, his motivation to the other players. And when we walked out to the state title game, I was holding his hand as a captain walking out, and as a parent, I thought, man, what a great time and moment to share with your student athlete. And his dad wasn't there, and I just turned and looked at him as we were walking out on the field and said, hey, Nolan, your dad's proud of you today, man. He is freaking really excited. You're a good man. This is going to be a lot of fun this day. And I felt that way for the whole entire team. This has been something you all been working for a long time. So I think my first thought was, man, I'm really excited these guys got to experience this. It shows you what hard work and dedication can do, but also when we turned around, and I told them to always applaud our crowd. When we turned around, there was 8,000 people there cheering for them. Heck, there's you know, about that many people in the community, so that almost everybody was there supporting them. I think that showed them how much fun a community can be when it comes together for one good common cause.
All right, we're ready for the football season in a couple weeks. Will be the first game, August the 30th, up at Liberty. You'll take on Maryville. What'd you do with the team this summer, and do you ever let yourself kind of step away from football for a while?
You know, that's one of the best things about my wife and my kids. I learned that you got to appreciate them. I actually got the opportunity to go up and be at University of Missouri yesterday, and that's one thing I asked Barry. I said, how's your family? You, that part of it my wife has done for the past 20 years, we take 7 days and it's us. So, yeah, I stepped away from it. But our summer, as far as the team, we went with 1 week early in June, just as an introduction. We don't have an opportunity. We have some eighth graders that are coming as freshmen that we don't get to be around because they go to a parochial school in St. Thomas, St. Xavier, or St. Francis Xavier, or St. Stanislaus. So that's an opportunity for us to get to know some of the new players, and then that allows us to establish a baseline for our summer. Then we went up and we did a 7-on-7 at Mizzou. We did a 7-on-7 up at Lee Summit against the big schools. We played some of the Kansas schools. It was a really good experience for us. Worked out all summer. We had over 95% attendance, which is one of the things our seniors wanted to establish. And we grew as a team as the summer went on. And then July, we started to do our open fields. We did another 7-on-7 team activity with CBC, which is always an eye-opener because just your players get to see this is the best team in the Midwest. Here's the benchmark where you want to get to. We need to work a little bit harder, and I think that was a great experience for us. And then we had our last camp, and at our last camp, our players were really coming into their own. I was really excited on Thursday and Friday of the camp, the last week when we could go into the season feeling like, hey, we're moving forward. And I thought our players really had a good feeling coming out on Friday after our last camp.
Practice officially starts on Monday. I know you're excited about that.
Yeah, you are. The only thing with practice on Monday, it's kind of anticlimactic with all the things we do during the summer now. You know, it's kind of everybody's like, oh, the first day of practice. Mm-hmm. Well, we treat our camp as the first really week of practice because we only get 16 days. You know, the state of Missouri and the National Federation of High School Associations has set a benchmark for you where the first 6 days you have to follow certain game guidelines, like the day one and two you got to go shorts and t-shirts, and it's all what they call air work. Days 3, 4, and 5 you can only go in shorts and shoulder pads. Day 6 you can go full pads, but you can't go more than 3 hours in one day. You can't go a two-day practice. There's limitations about what you can do, but then you turn around and you can have 16 days to get 14 practices in before your first game. So with that, that's why the summer has become so important in that last week of camp, because we told our players when we come back on Monday the 12th, it's all eyes on Maryville now. Now we're gearing up and we're getting ready for our first game. Mm-hmm. Because when I started playing in the 80s and then started coaching in the 90s, we had 2.5 weeks of two-a-days and practices in order to get the players in shape because there wasn't a lot of summer activity. That has gone by the wayside. Mm-hmm. So now the conditioning is in the summer, and actually football practice on Monday is, like I said, almost anticlimactic because we have a good idea where our team is. We have a good idea where we're going. Now it's just, okay, here's what Maryville does. Here's what we got to concentrate on. Here's how we got to get better for week one.
All right, how many days, how many hours to the first game?
It is 20 days, 11 hours, and probably 45 minutes right now, my friend.
Coach, thanks for being with us this morning. You know we'll have you on throughout the football season on the Coach's Show. And again, you've been on the most of any coach in the 24 years of the show.
God dang, we're old, aren't we?
Coach, have a good weekend.
Thank you, you too.
All right, Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Your car wants to look its best. The paint, the trim, the wheels, the tires, they want to show off in all of their sparkling glory. Let your car shine with the Quick Car Monthly Unlimited Wash Club. For $25 a month, you can let your car strut its stuff anytime you want. Welcome to the club. Join Quick Car's Monthly Unlimited Wash Club today. Quick Car. Quick, easy, and professional every time. In Jefferson City and Osage Beach.
2 days of deals, of grocery steals, of food savings galore are going on this weekend at your Hy-Vee grocery store. 4 6-packs of Pepsi products, just $8.88. 68 cent Gatorade and Propel, wow, that's great. Fresh Crown Burger patties, buy one package, get one free. They've lowered tons of prices, lock them down and toss the key. This Friday and this Saturday, you'll find these deals and more. Behind your cart and shopping smart at your JC Hy-Vee store.
This is a list of things that suck. Fat-free cream cheese. having to use the bathroom while stuck in traffic.
Hot, hot, dog, hot, hot.
When the bottom of your hard-shell taco collapses.
Oh.
And having to answer 36 questions before pumping your gas.
Debit card, yes. Do I know my PIN? Would you like a car wash? It's 10 degrees out. Do I like my mother-in-law?
I just want to pump my gas!
But inching their way slowly to the tippy top of the suck list are ticks. Disease-carrying, hard-to-find, blood-guzzling, nasty ticks. You know what doesn't suck? Having a friend in the pest control business. Steve, from Steve's Pest Control. And although he can't protect your bagel from the evils of fat-free cream cheese, he will make sure those creepy-crawly, teensy-tiny ticks are removed. Sorry, ticks. Sucks to suck.
Hi, this is Steve from Steve's Pest Control. From mosquitoes to bed bugs, we're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
I need to restate this.
If common sense like his...
Because it's just simple common sense.
Was a bit more common.
I can't help myself, folks. I'm going to take shots wherever I can.
He'd be out of a job.
I'm going to try to defeat everything I oppose with straightforward common sense.
Rush Limbaugh.
What is the compassionate reason? What is the common sense reason for throwing open the borders? Why do this? Who benefits? What is the point?
Today at 11 on News Radio KWOS. The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Helias Lady Crusaders head softball coach Chris Weirich. New to the coaching of softball as the head coach, but certainly not new to the program and not new to coaching at Helias. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Good. Been around for over 20 years, haven't you?
Yes, sir. It's been a while, but it's been a joy to be there, and I'm looking forward to it. So.
Well, let's talk about it from the standpoint of you've been the baseball coach, now you're the softball coach. You've been very busy, I wouldn't believe, over the summer, haven't you?
Not too bad. You know, all the girls, they have their own teams that they play on all summertime, so they're out playing and doing their thing. We probably had a handful of times we got together and just try to figure each other out from a, you know, now from a head coaching standpoint. So it hasn't been too bad, but it's been busy.
When you look at it from the softball program standpoint, you said that they were playing over the summer with different teams. Do you go out and watch those games?
I try to. Yeah. I try to, you know, along with my son, my son's schedule, which is pretty hectic, playing baseball as well. So I try to make it out. We actually had one tournament where we had girls playing against each other in a championship game, which was interesting to see. So, but, you know, a lot of them are playing – I have two or three that are playing around the country, so it's kind of hard to make it out to California and to down to Florida to see them play. But, you know, I think most of them had a good summer, and we'll see how they progress over summer this fall.
Baseball in the spring, softball in the fall. Do you give yourself an opportunity to step away from those sports at all?
A little bit. You know, I have my assistant coaches in baseball do most of the stuff in the summertime. I do a little bit of stuff with them. And again, softball, you know, again, you had 20 contact days for both sports, so it's kind of hard to mix both sports in at the same time. So, you know, again, I have my baseball assistants do the baseball and softball. We got together, you know, a handful of times. So, again, with my son's schedule, which is pretty hectic in the summertime, I think we play 7 or 8 tournaments throughout the summer. So it's kind of hard to find some time off, but, you know, with me, with time off, I get bored quick, so it's good that I stay busy.
But it's also important, too, to kind of step away for just a little bit to recharge the batteries, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what the dead weeks are for. You know, we have our mandatory dead week, which was this week from the state, and then we have our, you know, the Helias dead week, which is usually, it's usually over the 4th of July weekend. So, I have those 2 weeks to, you know, sit back and not worry about anything, and it's got, again, like you said, recharge the batteries.
How has being the baseball coach been beneficial for you as being a softball coach now?
Oh, from an organizational standpoint, you know, you have a pretty good idea how things should work, you know, drills and progressions for, you know, the defense, hitting-wise, you know, those kind of things. So it helps. There's a lot of carryover.
And the other thing we were going to talk about was the fact that Dan Campbell stepped down, but you were involved with Dan's program over there before you became the head coach.
Yeah, for 14 years I was assistant coach with Dan, you know, on and off, I guess from 2000 to about 2007. And then I went to football for 4 or 5 years, and then I went back to softball. But yeah, we had a pretty good relationship, good working relationship. It was a give and take on both sides, and to make four Final Fours. I mean, Dan really put Helias softball on the map. You know, we're 20 years, and made four Final Fours, a couple state championships, really brought the program to another level. And I just hope we can maintain that level of consistency.
Each coach likes to put a little bit of their own mark, if you will, on the program. What will you do different than what was the case with Dan?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I guess we want to try to be a little bit more aggressive on the bases and just be a little bit more attack mode, I guess. I mean, nothing major, really. We've got some girls that can really run, and we're going to try to put a lot of pressure on the defense and steal some bases and go first to third and all those kind of things, and try to force some mistakes on the defense's part. And I think if you do that, I mean, we can really score a bunch of runs. But again, you can't steal first base. You got to get on base in order to do those things. So I think just a little bit be aggressive from an offensive standpoint, and then just be really solid on defense. And that's something that Dan really preached for years, was just to be really solid on defense and have good pitching. And again, you've heard me say that for years on the baseball side, but softball, it's really, really crucial that you have good pitching and defense, because there's going to be a lot of one-run games and a lot of 1-0 games. So, from that standpoint, things are going to stay the same, but I like to think we're going to be a lot more aggressive.
You've been involved in the sport, obviously, a long time. What's the biggest change you've seen probably in the last 10 years in softball?
Oh, there's a lot more good hitters. I mean, these girls can hit this day and age. And we don't have any slappers, left-handed hitters that slap the ball and really run to the left side. So from that standpoint, I think we're maybe a little bit of a disadvantage offensively, but from top to bottom, I mean, girls this day and age can really, really hit. And I think our lineup can be the same way if we can, get a little bit more consistency in what we're doing at the plate. So, every team has four or five girls that can really, really hit. Back when we started 2000, you'd have one or two really good hitters, and everybody else was a role player, and they kind of fit into their own individual slots. But now you look at teams, and they're four, five, six deep hitting wise that can really swing the bat. So I think that's a major change in the game.
Taking a look at your roster from last year, you have a lot of players back this year, don't you?
Yeah, we've got nine seniors, which is good. I mean, these girls are hungry. I mean, they haven't won a district championship, and they came in with a lot of fanfare, and they've been one or two plays, one or two pitches short of winning that district championship and probably progressing, to the Final Four in the state finals, because the team that they would lose to in districts either made the Final Four or won the state championship that year. And they're just, again, they're just one or two pitches, one or two plays away. And I think this group of seniors is really hungry to prove that they deserve to be in those kind of situations and make it to the Final Four. And that's our ultimate goal, is to get there and, play for a championship. And I think if these girls will stay focused, and we've got a good set of seniors. They've played for almost, a lot of them played for 4 years. As soon as they walked on campus, they were playing. So they've got a lot of experience, and they've been in those situations, so hopefully all that experience will pay off.
Coach, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks, Kevin.
Helias Lady Crusaders head softball coach Chris Weirich on the Coach's Show. Back with more after the break. In the studio with us in the second half hour is Jefferson City Jays Activities Director Chad Reisner. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show right here on KWOS.
Despite all the posting, tweeting, and sometimes oversharing, social media is here to stay.
I can listen to you anywhere. All the talk radio hosts are available to me constantly. I can Twitter you. I can put things on Facebook.
And if you want to be a part of it, or just witness the madness,
see, we follow each other.
You can join our little corner of the chaos right here.
It's about a bunch of people banding together.
At KWOS.com.
You hear about this fancy new aging-in-place store on the interwebs?
Huh?
They say it's like some kind of virtual warehouse of fancy high-tech home accessibility equipment.
I don't trust a store I can't even see. What does WWW stand for?
It stands for who needs it, who cares, and what a crock! They've even got some kind of toilet that helps you sit down on it and stand back up, like something from outer space!
Who needs it?
Back then, a toilet was a hole in the ground. You couldn't flush it. When it got full, you filled it in and dug a new one. That's the way it was, and we liked it.
We loved it.
No, they didn't. Nobody would. This is Matthew with Handyman Solutions. We have the services and equipment you need to make every room in your home safe and accessible. If you or a loved one would prefer to continue living at home but face mobility challenges, visit our website to see for yourself all the amazing equipment and services that we have to offer for every room and talk to experts who can help you plan and prepare for a comfortable, happy life at home as you age. Find out more at handymansolutions.org.
So, your air conditioner made it through July. That's great. However, August is here and the forecast, well, it's going to be hot.
Extended forecast calling for temperatures just above fire this week.
Uncomfortable.
At AirServe, we believe the air you breathe should be comfortable and clean. So take a break from the heat, stop overpaying the utility company, and upgrade your air conditioner right now. We have great financing options and your new system could qualify for rebates. Visit AirServe.com to schedule your appointment today.
It's so hot.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back in the studio with us. The second half hour is Chad Reisner, who is the Jefferson City Jays Activities Director, starting on your second year as the Activities Director, third overall as far as you were an assistant the first year, and this is your second year. What'd you learn most in the first year between now and that first year?
Well, I think with any job like that, there's lots of parts to it, and I think you're aware of the public side of the job, and you see ADs at events, and that's certainly part of it. I guess the part that I learned the most is the background, the stuff that happens in the background, the stuff that you have to do with the state association, with MSHA, and but yeah, it's there's a lot of pieces to the job for sure.
Well, let me ask you this: is it a position that you're learning something new every day?
Definitely. I know that's true because like when I call folks for help, like Tim Thompson, for instance, who I worked with my first year, who did that for 10 years and then worked at MSHA for several years. I've stumped him several times with situations that come that have come up, and when he's stumped, you know it's a pretty because if he hasn't seen it, I don't know who has. But yeah, definitely learn every day and something new every day.
All right, you graduated from Jefferson City in 1991. You left for a while and you came back.
I did. I went. I went out to the University of Wyoming for school, and then taught 1 year down in Southwest Missouri, and then came back home and coached football and basketball and did student council, and so have been part of lots of little parts of the school over the last 24 years, I think it's been.
You know, before you became the activities director, you mentioned involved with the student council. How'd that help you with this position?
Well, I think with sports, you are focused on your sport, and with student council, the point of student council is to serve the whole school. And so I got to see and interact with lots of different teachers, lots of different parts of the school, and lots of different clubs and organizations and things like that are not sports. And so that just provided a more well-rounded view of what happens at the school.
You're at Jefferson City High School. You have Robert Nesicki over at Capital City High School. Then you have Aaron Earlywine. How do all three of those parts work together?
Well, Aaron came on last year as the district AD. We've never had that position before in that way. And so Aaron is working on bigger picture, I would say longer range type things, which is good. I think that was a part of our program that had been neglected a little bit. And then Robert will handle the Capital City stuff. And there's, you know, we all talk every day because there's things that we're involved with every day, especially this year with the start of the new school and Robert in a new position. So we're You know, you talked about the learning every day. We help each other out with that from day to day.
I get asked this quite a bit. Is the football team going to stay in Class 6, or is it going to Class 5 or Class 4? What's the latest on that?
In looking at what Mish is going to do with classes, football won't change. That'll stay 6 classifications. Some of the other sports may add a classification. What they're trying to do over the years, when a new class was added to a sport, basically they just asked the schools, do you want to add another class?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always passed. The schools always wanted that, and they didn't think that was a very good way of doing it. And so now they have developed a 2-point multiplier, basically, whereas in any class, they don't want the biggest school to be more than double the size of the smallest school,
right,
other than Class 1. And so because of that, the sports that are 4 classes now will move to 5. I think both high schools, once we end up with 4 grades in both high schools, and that's, you know, 2 years down the road, we will generally be the second to largest school, so if there's 6 classes, we'll be Class 5. There's 5 classes, we'll be Class 4. That's kind of where the numbers are looking right now. But yeah, it's kind of all estimates at this point, but that's what it's looking like.
And everybody's still waiting, because they have not released the information as far as the classifications and what districts you're in, and that won't come up till probably another week or two, right?
Right, for this year. And they used to do it every 2 years, and now they've gone to reclassifying and redistricting every year. It is a week or so, and you find out what district you're in each sport. But it's just different than the way it used to be.
All right, you drive past the high school, a lot of things going on. Let's talk about the sports facilities first of all. There were a couple of items that were affected by the tornado. The press box would be one. The scoreboard would be another. Let's go to the press box. What happened, and where are you at with regards to fixing that?
Well, the storm that happened was unfortunate. We had a lot of damage on our campus. And before we talk about that, I'd just like to comment about the neighbors that we have there and the damage that they had. And, this is a sports show, and we'll talk about the sporting side of it, but it is just a press box. It is just a field. It is just fences and lights and stuff like that. And, you know, as we were picking up our part to look across the street and look at folks that are, you know, doing the same thing with their houses, was rough. And I, it was just a miracle nobody lost their lives. So that's good. As far as the storm damage at the stadium, the press box, the roof was taken off the press box. And so and then, of course, it rains and, you know, filters down through the building. And so all of that has to be fixed. The new scoreboard that we had that we put up last spring, it's a video Daktronics video board, was hit by the storm. The 4 I-beams that hold it up held it up. It didn't come all the way down, but all 4 of those I-beams were bent.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to take the board down. The, you know, insurance paid for the removal of it, and then they have to put in new I-beams and stuff like that. Another part of the damage that was harder, I guess, to see was the damage to the track. And so we had to resurface the track. There were over 100 gouges and holes and things like that of things bouncing across the track as it was blown to wherever it ended up. So you had the press box, you had the scoreboard, you had the track, you had all the fencing, and the pits, like the high jump pit, pole vault pits, all of those things, had to be replaced because they were shredded basically mm-hmm. by the tornado.
And the scoreboard, I think, came down within the last week or so, right?
It did. It mm-hmm. did. It stayed up, at least didn't fall completely down, which was good. And that, you know, when you put up a scoreboard like that or a big billboard type thing, the the wind concerns as far as the construction of it and the engineering of it. And so they reinforced the I-beams. So I guess they, you know, it bent right above the reinforcements. So they knew what they were doing there. So, yeah, it's it was a mess. And our John Moon and Frank Underwood and our facilities folks have done, you know, a good job. And that summer's always a busy time for schools anyway. Right. And those guys had that additional work that was put on them, and they've done a great job managing that.
Where are you at in terms of when those things will be ready again?
Well, with any construction project, it's, you know, kind of day by day. And are we ahead of schedule, behind schedule? The field that were the new field that was scheduled to be put in anyway is hopefully within a week or so of being done. The scoreboard will be hung probably the last week of July, maybe the end of the week before. The press box is getting closer. That's probably within a few weeks of being done. So, you know, it all, I guess, if the old saying, if it wasn't for the last minute, nothing would get done. Everything builds up over the summer, and with any construction project in a school, it gets tight at the end, and that's where we're at right now.
Well, and I think the football team's on the road the first 3 weeks.
They
right?
are, yeah. And that was not on purpose. Like, that was just how it was scheduled. We were at home the first 3 weeks last week, but that will help us for sure, just to get things finished up there.
And you mentioned it just a moment ago, but two things not storm related that you've been working on is the locker room and the football field.
Yeah, the locker room needed it. We had some leak problems and things like that, and so they put in some new windows and redid the outside of the building. It looks really nice. That was pre-planned, that we were going to do that before that didn't have anything to do with the storm. So that has been a work in progress, and I think they've pretty well finished that up. There's a little bit of window stuff they have to finish next week in the upcoming weeks. And then the field that we had for 9 years, I mm-hmm. think 10 years, something like that, and so it needed to be replaced, and so we're putting that down right now, and so we're excited about that. They ran into some problems with the drainage stuff underneath, and it really added a lot of time to that project, because we were hoping to have that done sometime in July, and you know, here we are. So.
And the field is marked for multiple sports, right?
It is. It'll have the football lines will be white, and then it will have soccer lines on it that will be a darker color. And most high school fields that you go to are that way. I know, you know, you can, Helias is done that way, and a lot of them are. And so it will be available if needed in the fall. There's football, you know, has practice each day, but then we have, with all the different levels, we have games a lot of nights. And so, you know, it's already scheduled and being used for football most nights. And then in the spring with girls soccer, track, you know, uses that facility. And so, but it does give us an option. And we have run into the last couple of years where we've had to work with Helias, and they've let us use their field for some events. And Lincoln has been a great partner with the soccer field, but this summer has been outstanding to work with. And they've, with our field being redone, we've used their field quite a bit, and they've been a real good partner for us.
Boy, the bottom line is you've been incredibly busy this summer, haven't you?
It has been. It has been very busy, and we're just, and I know, like, up on the hill with the school and all the renovations going on up there, our indoor facilities, like, we could not be in the building, in the high school building, all summer. And so both basketball teams, volleyball, band has a big camp that they need inside facilities for, and so all of that has been moved to Lewis and Clark Middle School. And once again, a good partner. All the folks out there have done a great job hosting us and allowing us to use their facilities. So, yeah, we are really looking forward to just getting things back to normal and not dealing with all of, you know, it's busy anyway and it's hectic anyway, but then when you add the construction, it just makes it worse.
What's the first day of school?
The 27th, I believe. It's a Tuesday of the last week. We, because of the renovations and the building at the two high schools, that was scheduled to start late. That way this year it's a week or so later than we normally do. And I get to ask that question a lot. And when I was a teacher, I would have the answer to that, like, specifically. But as an AD, it's just another day. And there'll be kids there. And, you know, it's definitely not as for an AD, the first day of school is not as big a deal as it used to be as a classroom teacher.
Thank you for the update. We appreciate your time this morning.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Jefferson City Jays Activities Director Chad Reisner on the Coach's Show, back with more after the break.
What if I told you there was a way to step into another gear for your brain and be much sharper, more focused, and improve your memory to a level that you could only dream about and notice these results in 30 minutes? Hard to believe? Neuroscientists are calling this new brain discovery the biggest advancement in brain science to date. It's called Limitless, the brain pill of the future. Take it, and within 30 minutes, you'll transport your mind to a new level of focus and clarity you would have never thought possible.
I took Limitless, and it started working in minutes. All of a sudden, it felt like a dark cloud had been lifted up right before my eyes. I have a mental clarity I've never felt before.
Biz execs, athletes, teachers, and students are calling Limitless a secret weapon for the brain. You have nothing to lose, so call now and find out how to get a free bottle today.
Find out how to get a free bottle of Limitless. Call 1-800-617-1604, 800-617-1604. Free bottles for a limited time. Call now, 800-617-1604, 800-617-1604.
I'm Mark Boyer with Three Rivers Electric. If you come across a down power line or a low-hanging power line, always assume the power line is energized and stay at least 10 feet away from that down power line to avoid receiving an electric shock. Also, if you plan on using a standby generator during a storm, please make sure that the generator is connected properly. If you have questions about how to properly connect a generator to your system, call us at Three Rivers Electric Cooperative and we'd be happy to answer your questions. I'm Mark Boyer from Three Rivers Electric.
I'm Jay Ashcroft, Missouri's Secretary of State. Our securities division works hard to protect Missouri investors. If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Call us to learn if your investment advisor is properly registered. Give us a call today at 800-721-7996 and check with us before you write the check. Sponsored by Missouri Secretary of State Securities Division Investor Education and Protection Fund.
No, improve efficiency, not consume calories.
I mean, improving his efficiency is a piece of cake with the New Holland skid steer. New Holland created the vertical lift path skid steer, and no one has been able to match its efficiency.
That's too bad. Now I'm craving cake.
Rosebud Tractor, your tractor guys in Lynn and Rosebud, Missouri. RosebudTractor.com.
Business as usual. The phrase is often used to indicate that nothing exciting or unusual is happening. As a business owner, you love the phrase because it means everything is in its right place, working as it should, and your people are taken care of. That's why you use Wall Street Group for your employee benefits, because you know their business as usual is to ensure that every day for you and your people is business as usual. Wall Street Group. Your future is bright. WallStreetIns.com.
As another election season heats up,
the liberals are not pro-life.
People are getting more vocal than ever.
Socialism or capitalism.
You guys are liars. It doesn't work.
And you don't have to wait for the ballot box.
I'm all for fighting at the ballot box.
To have your voice be heard.
I believe the Democrats will do everything they can.
I want to see Republicans out more.
They make Joe Biden their nominee because they can control him.
Join the conversation on KWOS. The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Capital City Cavalier head football coach Shannon Jolly. Good morning, Coach.
How are you doing, Kevin? Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you. You were announced as the new head football coach in mid-December. What have you been up to since then?
Just taking it easy. A lot of the normal stuff, but the things that go along with, I think, establishing a new program is, you know, to be honest, a lot of ordering and a lot of type of administrative things like that have really consumed a lot of my summer, but we found quite a bit of time to get some work done, so it's been a really good summer.
You know, down in Eldon, you wore a number of different hats, so you've been able to jump into the job and get running with it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, looking back, I think that skill set has really paid its dividends. Of, you know, prior, you know, working as an athletic director and doing some things like that, I think that's allowed me to kind of keep some things in perspective and in the process of, again, purchasing and scheduling and putting things together. I think that's been a big part of allowing my summer to, you know, be as productive as it has been.
Tell us about the experience of being a head football coach at a new school.
Well, I think it's overwhelming at times, but it's extremely rewarding because you also have the opportunity to, you know, put your mark on everything, from everything that starts from day one to where we are now. So, you know, to be able to establish a set of expectations and guidelines and all of those things that go along with running a football program, to do it from day one where it's never been done before, is a huge advantage, and it's been something that's been challenging but really rewarding.
You take a look at it, too, from the standpoint of the student body, the athletes, the parents, the teachers, everybody very excited about the start of the school year at a new school.
Yeah, and that part's been fun. I mean, you get to be a part of setting a new culture and from the bat. And, you know, I can't say enough about, you know, our high school staff and our middle school staff this summer have just done a fantastic job of kind of setting the expectations and creating a culture that, you know, that have allowed us to have a lot of fun this summer, where we've done a lot of work, but at the same time, it's been really rewarding because of the way the kids have handled things. So, you know, again, it's probably been the most enjoyable summer I've had for a long time.
You know, one of the things we talk about with coaches is after their sport is done for the year, do they have an opportunity to step away and kind of recharge the batteries? It's kind of a different situation for you with this, hasn't it?
Yeah, not a lot of recharging going on this summer or even after the season. Getting hired in December, you know, it kind of pushed fast forward a little bit, but that's okay. I mean, I think most coaches will tell you that we choose this profession because we enjoy it. So although it's challenging sometimes, a lot of it doesn't seem like work.
What have you done in particular with the football team this summer?
Well, we put in our contact days this summer, and I think, you know, and that's unique because it's the first experience these guys have had with another class in a full high school setting or junior varsity setting, however you want to look at it. So one of the things, I think the pinnacle of our summer was traveling down to Branson, and they have a team contact camp down there, and that was over a week ago. We went down there and took right at 40 kids to team camp and got to compete. Now, we competed in the JV division, which is nice. They have the varsity teams and JV teams down there, so we stayed in our lane in the junior varsity area and had a lot of fun and got to see a lot of things that the kids are capable of because, you know, we've been practicing against ourselves and doing those walkthroughs and those types of things. So that was probably the biggest thing so far to this date.
And everybody excited about the official first day of practice, which will be on Monday.
Yeah, we're geared up and ready to go. We've, you know, kids have worked really hard. There's some of those kids that started way back in the winter lifting weights and doing the things that, you know, every high school football team does. So, you know, there's a lot of excitement around getting started. So, you know, turning up the heat a little bit and increasing the expectations as the season starts is going to be interesting to see, you know, how our kids and coaches respond. But I have really high expectations, and I think it's going to go really well next week.
You know, talking about the excitement and the anticipation, is it to the point where the players are going, let's get to it. We want to get to it.
Well, I think they think that, but I'm not sure that they you know, it's always be careful what you ask for. I think they are there, but we kind of knocked that edge off when we went to Branson because all of us, coaches included, felt like that before we went to team camp. So I'm sure there's a little bit of that now with the players. But like I said, after about that fifth practice or sixth practice, then they'll really be wanting to get to, you know, the Jamboree or the first game, which is understandable. I mean, it's everybody uses the word grind. There is a lot involved in it, so it creates those types of thoughts. But again, at the same time, as coaches, we're looking at it because we have a ton of work to do. So,
all right, you have a JV schedule the first year. Tell us, how many players do you have out for the team right now?
Well, we haven't set our official roster yet, obviously, with the season started. But we've had, at camps at times, we've had 45 and the upwards of close to 50, 48 kids, so which I was extremely excited about. With a new program, communication has been a little bit of a challenge, because we don't know all the kids. So to get 40-plus kids to commit to coming in on a consistent basis was really big for us. And that, again, I attribute our coaches and guys for reaching out to kids and communicating, hopefully as well as we can. And then once we get started, I foresee us having 45 kids on a roster, if not close to 50.
That's good numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, we're like I said, that's something that I've been really proud of. But it took a lot of getting over there and building some relationships with kids. And the fun part about it, one of the highlights of our season, I guess, to go along, is we've probably got four or five kids that have never played before. And traveling down to Brandon, I thought those guys specifically did an outstanding job. So when you can recruit guys that have wanted to play but just haven't decided to make the commitment yet, that's as rewarding to me as anything. So those guys have done a super job.
It'll be here before you know it. I think you have a jamboree down at Rolla on August the 23rd. First game is against Columbia Hickman on September the 9th.
Yeah, and we've added an extra game in there that you don't have to write it down right now, but we picked up another freshman / sophomore game with South Callaway that Tuesday after Labor Day. I think it's the 3rd of September. So we'll get even a little bit of an early start. That first week was a little bit unique because not a lot of guys play JV in that first week, so we were able to stick a game in there and get us moving ahead. But the Jamboree is going to be really big for us, for our kids. We didn't know if we were going to get to have a high school experience like that this year, and Rolla was flexible enough to allow us to come down and compete against the JV teams that are in the Jamboree, so that was big for us as well.
Coach, we appreciate your time this morning. Look forward to having you on throughout the season on the Coach's Show.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
All right, Capital City Cavalier head football coach Shannon Jolly. Again, as he mentioned, on August the 23rd, they will travel down to Rolla to be part of the Jamboree. Also on their schedule, they will play the Jefferson City Jays on September the 23rd. Schedule also calls for a game against the Helias Crusaders on October the 14th. We're back next week with the Coach's Show. Thanks for being with us today.